We are in Shaar Bey's Perek Yud Aleph at the end. I'm going to learn inside, and I'm going to tell you in advance that we're learning a concept here which I don't entirely understand. I'm struggling with it, and maybe some of the engineers and the physicists here, Moshe. Some of the engineers and the physicists can somehow help me.
Chemist.
Somebody just told me a story. I went to be Menachem Mobile, somebody. So he told me a story that his father, years ago in the 50s, was one of the directors, of YU. And, in the fundraising department and the director department, so they called him and they said, I guess it was the early 50s, they said that we're having a very, very special guest today, and we'd like you to take him around and give him a tour of the yeshiva, whatever the yeshiva was at that time, 1950. So he said, who's the guest? Professor Albert Einstein is coming to visit the yeshiva. Okay. He had just won, apparently, the Nobel Prize. Maybe it was earlier, but just meaning relative. Anyways, he takes him around and he shows him, and and Dr. Einstein's asking him questions about the yeshiva and learning and Torah. So he said, and there's also a secular program here, right? So he says, yes, this is Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University, we have a secular program. And he said, did you go through this system? He asked this fellow. So he said, yes, I did. So Albert Einstein asked him, so you know math? So the Oval, who was telling the story, stopped and said to his audience, he says, now what would you have answered? So I said, I would have said, well, everything's relative. which is a clever thing to say if you don't know any math, right? but he actually went ahead and talked math with Albert Einstein. Okay, so we need some mathematician and physicists. I'll tell you why. Because here we're
That was a calculated risk.
A calculated risk. Very good. Very good. At the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Mi Amru B'Shmois Rabba Parsha Beis U'B'Chazis. That's the name of a sefer of Kabbalah. The pasuk Ani Yeshena. That's Chazis is like the Zayar on Shir Hashirim. Where the Torah calls the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people, Yoinasi Tamasi. Tamasi, the Chazal interpret as Te'umasi, that we are twins, like a twin brother or sister with Hashem. Concept.
What is the word in Hashem Shah?
Pisimple. Tam.
What's the word he uses? Umasi?
Tamasi.
Tamasi.
Yeah. Tam Mahuaymer. Tamasi. It, which really means simply beautiful. Beautiful in its simplicity.
Means contrasted.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. Same. So Chazal said like this, Ma hato'oimim halalu, just like if you look at twins, Im chashash echad b'roi shechaveri margish, right? There's been such tests that if there's two twins, I don't think it even has to be identical twins, if one has a headache, the other one across the world doesn't feel right. The Nazis did all kinds of tests on this, and they found that twins that even know they had a sister or a brother felt the pain of the twin. Uvetanchuma sev parshas achrei kol Yeshua shabal liYisrael. If we have a Yeshua, we win the war. Hanukkah, right? He shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Yeshua Hashem. Why is our victory Hashem's victory? Simply because our pain is Hashem's pain. So if our pain is Hashem's pain, so Hashem's victory, our victory is Hashem's victory. Shenemar, as it says, Imai Anoichi Batzar, famous pasuk, Hashem is with us in this tzar. It's right next to us. Reutzel Leimer, U'Messayim V'Areyu Bishuasi. So Nefesh HaChaim adds to the Chazal that it's Muchach in the pasuk. Because in the pasuk itself, Hashem says, "V'arehu bishuasi," it's my Yeshua, not your Yeshua. HaYeshua shalchahi, shenamar lochal Yeshua salanu. Shoicher toiv until him. That's a medrash. Tilim is mer yud gimel yagel libi bishuasecho. We see there's a whole mix-up here between our Yeshua and Hashem's Yeshua. Amar Rav Lazar ze'echon min ha-mikrois ha-koshim. This is a difficult pasuk. Sheyeshuasin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyeshuasin shel Yisrael. Could it be that Hashem's Yeshua is our Yeshua? I mean, let's ask the question more balabatish. How could it be that Hashem has a Yeshua? Ki'ilu chaser lo mashu, that he should need a Yeshua. How could perfection require Yeshua? And the answer is that Hashem is perfect, but he created us. And it's like the perfect parent who has an imperfect child. So he's like all of us. So he's there's something imperfect in his life. B'Yeshua Seinu, Eng Siva, Ela B'Yeshua Secha, Yeshua Asra, Hi Yeshua Seinu. Ayin Zayar, the Nefesh HaChaim, typical Bekiz and Kabbalah. Ayin Zayar, Emar, Tzadik, Reisham, and Beis, Binin HaKosov, LaHashem, HaYeshua, V'zehu Imay Anoichi B'Tzara. This is the correct way to understand Imay Anoichi B'Tzara. If we have Tzaras, Hashem has Tzaras. If we have a Yeshua, Hashem has a Yeshua. Haynu Shemina Meitzar, Meshatif, Itay, Yisbarach Shmai, Azachal Tzehu. Another pasuk. Ukisha Adam, now here's, that's all we sort of understand. The Talmud Devarah puts it very well, or at least I put the Talmud Devarah very well, and that is that Imay Anoichi B'Tzara, he speaks about She'eris Yisrael. And She'eris Yisrael is the pshat that She'eris, She'er Basar Mamish, says the Talmud Devarah. She'er Basar Mamish, meaning it's like a nerve extension. So we, the Jewish people, are the extensions of the nerve system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol. Extension of the nerves. Imay Anoichi B'Tzara means I'm perfect. Hashem is perfect, but if there's a Jew hurting, there's something that pains him. And in that sense, if the Jew has a Yeshua, so that there's something that's a Yeshua for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshuascha kivinu Hashem. Yeshuasi, areyu b'shuasi. It's all mixed up. Yeshuascha, Yeshuasi. Hashem has Yeshua with our Yeshua. Now he says, Ukisha Adam, these are really the three sentences here that I want to focus on. Kisha Adam ain margish tsaroi mi yisurav. Let's just get the words first. If a person does not feel tsar in his yisurim, what does it mean? You have a toothache and you're not margish tsar. Why? Mi goidol mirasei mi tsaroi kiv yachol. Because I have so much tsar for Hashem. Okay, let's just picture this for a minute. I'm in the dentist chair, and the guy's hitting a nerve there, and it hurts, but I feel no tsar because I really feel bad for God. I mean, is this real? feel bad for God, so get me out of here. Hashem, get me out of here. But
he's talking about emotional tsar instead of physical tsar.
Why?
I mean,
he's talking about tsar. Well, hamroirois halalu. I just went to the words before we're philosophize here. Hamroirois halalu, hein etzem miruk pishav. So the pain that I feel for Hashem is the miruk avinois. What does miruk mean? It's got a good translation. Miruk. Yisurin, Markin, Chatshav Shel Adam. Lost another Gemara. Huh?
Wipes them is like spitting out.
Interesting. The word in it's an Aramaic word, I believe. It means a polish. Polish. You're like a Marika diamond, which is actually quite a good example because when you're polishing a diamond, you're being kind of rough on the. You're rough on the rough, right? It's a diamond in the rough. And now you're polishing it. You're polishing it like, whoa, you're taking my stone, which is worth $1 million, and you're putting it in a grinder, and but that's okay. That kind of stuff I've heard since I'm a child. no chiddush here. Meaning, somehow or another, I never kind of liked it, but somehow or another, if I have yisurim, if I'm in pain, the pain itself is a cleanser. We've all heard this. The pain itself is a cleanser. Kapara. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. If I look at the Gemara, I'll say a person who has Yisurim are Memarik Kopsho of Shaladim. You could even say, well, if I have these Yisurim, I must have done something wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting it out of there, which is a painful procedure. That's the Pashat of Shat. Gilgulim, you know, sometimes you even have pain for something that happened. You know, like, what was it, the Monday. Monday I was in Yerushalayim on Rehov Ramban, and I had a parking, had an appointment in the Jerusalem Plaza, or whatever it's called, Leonardo. And I'm driving around the block looking for a space, and I couldn't find a space. And I said to the person with me, I said, I am sure that I am a Gilgul of some guy in the past generations that took a parking spot away from some old lady. Because it was tremendous too. Sorry. So I understand that. What? So we make the rounds. You know what? You make the rounds. That's on every level. Gilgul. So they had the Gilgulim right there in Rehov HaRamban. But what I'm saying is that's all. I somehow I don't know if I'm just used to understanding it or I do understand. Somehow I can understand that Yisurim can be Memarek Shoev Shalatim. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is Hamarayrais Halalu, this that I am in Tsar for the Tsar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a different thing. I'm in Tsar, I'm having Tsar, listen carefully, for the Tsar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in Tsar. Again, I'm in the dentist chair. He's not. But I have Tsar that, oh, Hashem, you feel tsar for me now, so I'm worried about you. Hain, etzem mirak shel. That's the part that cleanses your avinus. It's not the pain which is cleansing the avinus. It's getting out of yourself, worrying about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain, whatever that means, which is a very difficult thing to do when you're in the dentist chair. But in other words, you're getting out of your pain, thinking about Hashem's pain, and I guess I'm interpreting that the very fact that you got out of yourself, you crawled out of your own skin and your own pain, that in itself is the mirak avinus. It's not the pain which is mirak avinus. It's feeling, it's the selflessness of it and getting into the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this leaves us wide open because what does it mean, the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be, but okay. Nerve endings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Are we catching Mirik the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I that's why I asked, what does Mirik mean? But hein, Mirik Avinus. Look, I just want to understand, I'll be marshal just in my simple mind, which it really is very simple when it comes to these things. But I can understand if God forbid, Leil Einu, a person becomes ill. A mature person gets, God forbid, cancer. Your immediate tsar is gewalt, like, you know, cancer, like you serious cancer, like, you know, the rest of my life is going to be miserable. The deeper tsar for the responsible person is, what's going to be with my kids? What's going to be with my family? What's going to be with the people that depend on me? How can this be? Like, and This is a growth factor, which, by the way, I have seen in almost every case. I've been around in hospitals a lot, and in almost every case, like, the immediate reaction is shock, gewalt, I'm going to go through so much pain and misery now, which is true. And the secondary reaction is, in other words, the more thoughtful and next step is, you got to get your things in order. You have to make sure that everybody's taken care of. How are my kids going to grow up without a father? Loyola. I mean, so what happens there? What's the process? The process is, in my understanding, that there's a sort of a growth process of getting out of yourself. How far can that go? How much can you worry out of your own skin? And the answer is all the way ad hashamayim, ad kisei hakavod. You can worry all the way up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Even if I'm alone on an island and I'm not, and nobody is affected by my pain, nobody's affected by my other person's pain. You know, you know, my husband's going to take care of me now. My wife's going to take care of me. It's going to cost, you know, like, it's going to drain our finances. You know, there's a lot of things to worry about, but let's say you have nothing to worry about. You always have to worry about this, that Hashem is in pain. So the question is, if you're in pain, so don't make me sick if it's hurting you so much, right? What's the problem? But the answer is we need miruk avaynus. There's no choice. This is good for us.
Is it Hashem pain because the guy is in pain, or is it Hashem's pain because of the gullus and gullus of screaming and all these other things that are going on?
Like a father says, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Because we don't know what, we don't understand what damage is going on when we do.
I don't understand what's happening.
So you sort of moved on from a passive event, as we understood it initially, to another level would be some kind of awareness that there's some aware about this, even a higher level, that it's Hashem's pain that I'm suffering. Very difficult.
But again, it just be the difficult part's the next sentence. But this is kid stuff. But I just want to make sure we take it sentence by sentence here. Let me review with you probably a famous story, Hasidic story of the Tzanzer Rebbe. The Tzanzer Rebbe was, I believe, the father-in-law of the Horner Stipler Rebbe, something like that. I'm not a bucky. But when he died, so he left a tzava that whoever comes to his kever and davens, he will pipoil yeshuas for him in Shemayim. He will help him in Shemayim. And he said it very clearly, and he wrote it very clearly. He says, I want everyone to come to my kever. It'll be pipoil yeshuas. And people flocked from anywhere they could, from all over Europe. There's a Sveltnish choice tzoros, you know, to have tzoros, you know. So people came with all kinds of tzoros, and they cried at the grave, and like for the first year. And by the end of the year, everybody was reporting that no miracles happened. You know, no miracles happened. Nobody had those who wanted children didn't have children. Those who were sick didn't get healthy. Like, nothing special. The thing. So this was a crisis for the Hasidic world. Like, you know, here's a promise. I mean, if you're a smart rabbi, you don't make promises. But he promised. So the son-in-law was a big tzaddik, davened that he should that his father-in-law should come to him in a dream and explain to him what's going on. So that's what happened. And the Tzanzer Rebbe came to, I think it was the Horner Stipler, I think I'm having the names correctly. That's, by the way, Rav Tversky's great-grandfather. He came to him in a dream, and he said to him, what's going on? Like, you know, you promised something, and, you know, that's not happening. And the Tzanzer Rebbe says, I know. He says, the thing is like this. He says, when I came to Shemayim, you get a bigger look at things, I realized that this poverty of this guy is the best thing for him. And this one doesn't have any children. This is a wonderful thing. It would be terrible if he had children. So what am I supposed to do now? Try to daven that I should do something bad for the person? What am I supposed to do? I'm stuck. I thought when I was alive in my earthly look, I thought that maybe I can help from Shemayim. But I come to Shemayim. I don't want to help. Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. So reportedly, the Rebbe answered him in a dream. I don't know how that works, but but the Rebbe answered him in a dream that you could still daven. It could be easier for people. You know, it could be easier. Like, if you have to go through what we have to go through, it could at least be a little bit easier. But we don't know why we're going through what we're going through. But we have to go through what we have to go through, but it sometimes can pain Hashem. A difficult concept. I'm not claiming to understand it. But it's somewhat familiar. If we learn together Tamar Devar, it's somewhat familiar. Then he says, and the chiddush here, by the way, the biggest chiddush in learning is that it's that having tsar, as in my mashal for the wife and kids, for everything else, that having tsar for the shechina, hein miruk avinaisav. That does the miracle. It's not the pain which is helping. It's the somehow or another this crisis is helping me get out of my own skin. It's creating a lack of self-centeredness. It's forcing me to look outward, and that's what's that. Hein miracle of. And then once I look outward, that mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Okay. O mischaper bezeh ad shi yisuri atzmai bedelen heimenu. The kapara, by the way, kapara, the word, I just want to point out, kaper also means to cleanse, like miruk. Kaparas avainos means, it's a difference between slachlanu, machalanu, and kaperlanu. Slachlanu, forgive me, machalanu, forgive me, slicha, machila. Kapara is cleanse it out, get rid of it. Cleanse it out. If I insult you, slicha. If I insult you more, mechila, and you're moichel. But kapara means our relationship is back to where it was to begin with. That's a difficult thing. Kapara means in a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, what's the payment? What's the payload? So the payload, I'm not sure that that's true, that it requires a price.
Kofir. Take a person out of the kidnap situation. There's a price you pay for kapara.
Right. I don't think that's what it means, Kofir. I think what it means is, I humbly argue, that it means it's my essence. It's the gavr, not the chefza. Meaning I can apologize. Slicha, I pushed you on the bus. I pushed you. So slicha. One of my rabbeim, Rav Moshe Shapiro, love a shalom. He never said slicha. He always said mechila. Mechila. I'm sure he knew what he was doing. Mechila. It doesn't change. Okay. I'm mechila you. Then there's kapara or koifer nefesh, as you say, which cleanses me. I don't think it's about the price, but in other words, cleanses me, cleanses the relationship. Do you look at me? I apologize. I just want to mechila. I just want to make sure that we understand. I don't like going over deep things in a quick way. I understand as follows that I was just giving a mashal. Like it says that a shidduch zivugim kasha zivugim kikriyas yamsuf. So. Okay, Kriyas Yamsuf is an interesting. I mean, Hashem did a lot of difficult things, like took us out of Mitzrayim, and gave us man, and all, like Kriyas Yamsuf. So the pshat in Kriyas Yamsuf, the Sfarim say, is that Kriyas Yamsuf was an interesting thing, that the sea split for the Jewish people, and then it went back for Shavla Esonai, and you find no seam. There are books written about where exactly was this Kriyas Yamsuf. There's no water flowing a minute later like it never split before. And the zivugai shel adam has to be such that if there's a split between a husband and wife, an argument between a husband and wife, some kind of a split, everybody has. It's could be kikriyas yamsuf that the siyata deshmaya or the zivug toiv is that it goes right back to where it was before. That's the chap. The chap is that maybe there's no seam there. That's kapara. That's the kapara lanu. Does that cost? It costs a lot, you know, but in every different way. But that's the kufr kapara is the pshat that there's a tikkun in the gavr, not just a tikkun in the chefza. Not I took your thing, I'm giving you back your thing. But it's a tikkun in the gavr itself. So that in itself, let's go further, mischaper bazeh ad shi yisuri atzma bedelen heimenu. Now, this doesn't always happen, but he says that if apparently the more we can get out of our, maybe he means like this psychologically, as Yitzhak said, that the more we get out of our skin, the less we feel the pain. Yeah, it's not that the yisurim go away, but the more it's getting out of our own self interests, whether it's for somebody else or for that in itself is an anesthetic. Because I'm not feeling my pain because I'm too busy feeling your pain. Does that make sense to you? So maybe it's not even just spiritual, like all of a sudden, you know, like I've never had a tooth that healed. no matter how much kavanas I have. It is what it is. But the fact that you can get out of yourself, so that's a certain type of pain management. So what happens is not the necessarily the siba of the pain goes away. You feel no pain. You feel no pain because you can get to a point which is a higher thing than the pain going away miraculously. I can actually feel no pain because I have such a strong cause here. This is how people can take a bullet. Or Rabbi Akiva, according to Chazal, not the regular Gemara in Shabbos, but according to Chazal, when the Romans were torturing him, he was smiling when he said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. It was Besimcha. What was Besimcha? He felt that it was kapara for him, kapara for the door. He felt that it was triggering, which gets into what we're going to say in the really hard sentence. It was triggering a greater oinish for the Romans, changed the balance of power. A lot of the Arizal speaks a lot about Rabbi Akiva. Now, here's the parentheses. Do you have the parentheses? V'hein hein ha'gvurais kedoshais. Kedarka yisporach shmoi lahamtik mar b'mar. V'hu tikkun amidus b'sharshan. And this is where the fun begins. What we're describing, which was all easy, this is the deep part of it. Hein hein ha'gvurais kedoshais. Just absorb the words, please. Hein hein ha'gvuras ha'kedoshais, kidarka yisparach, because it is the way of Hashem, lahamtik mar bimar. It's the way of Hashem, lahamtik mar bimar. This is, I don't know if anybody says it, but it's Pashut, that this is, the makor for this is by the, in Parshas Bashalach. Because in Parshas Bashalach, the Torah tells that Bnei Yisrael, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, were thirsty, and they came to a big waterway right after the Shira. They came to the place which is called Vayavai Marasa. So they came to Marasa. Layachlu lishtais ma'im mimara. It's a place, by the way. I mean, they claim that it's, they know where this is, right next to the Suez Canal. What's now the Suez Canal? So it was Ein Havara. Ein Havara means in Arabic bitter waters, bitter ma'ayan, bitter waters. And there's a place with bitter waters, and if you follow the path of the Bnei Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, you know, so it's like a false positive. You know, you get to the, we're thirsty, we get to the water, you can't drink this water. The water is Meimarim. What makes it bitter, it's a different thing. But it's like coming to the Yam HaMelech or something like that. So Hashem says to Moshe, V'yavoy marasa, l'yachol lishtos mayim mimara, ki marim hein al ken karishma mara. And that's why the place is called Mara. And we know about Mara, by the way, because in Mara, V'yilaynu ha'am al Moshe lemor manishte. What should we drink? V'yitzak el Hashem, Vayareyu Hashem eitz. Hashem showed Moshe a tree. Vayashleich al amayim, vayimtiku amayim. He found a tree. Chazal say it was a tree. It was either an olive tree. It was some type of a bitter tree. Ramban expands on this. He found a tree. Take this tree, take this piece of wood, and throw it into the water. A miracle will happen, and the water will become sweet, and you can drink. Now, by the way, the pirushim of this, go minam mizrach al marav. Some say, I always wondered why a tree. Why didn't he just put his mata? he was doing good with the mata. Why didn't he just put the mata in the water? But Hashem told him, no, there's a tree. So the answer is it had to be a bitter tree. Mata was not a bitter tree. It was an Eitz Gan Eden. So it was a bitter tree. Take the bitter tree. The pirushim, some pirushim say, wasn't a tree. He took a whole forest and put it in there and created the first filtration system where the water went through these trees and became sweet. There's Rishonim say that. That it was a water, what do they call it? Water metadialysis, I think it's called. Like they were able to take the bitterness out of the water, like your reverse osmosis or something like that. They were able to do the osmosis of the water. Pashut Pshat is that it was a miracle. And the miracle was that he was a particular tree, threw it into the water, And he was, as the Ramban says, mamtik mar bimar. He took a bitter water and he took a bitter stick and he put the bitter into the bitter and the result was sweet. You see why I asked for the mathematicians here? Everything's relative. He took the bitter and he put it into the bitter, so two negatives equal a positive. It takes the bitter, puts it into the bitter, and it becomes sweet. This is hamtokes hadinim. How does it work? How could it possibly work that one bitter thing can make another bitter thing into a sweet thing?
First thing that comes to mind is, I mean, chemistry. You have an acid and a base, you put them together, and you have a beautifully clean drinkable water. Each one of those two things by itself would kill the person.
So you take hydrogen and oxygen, two poisons, you put them together, and it turns into something.
I'm actually thinking about like an acid and a base, like sulfuric acid and lye, right. Mix them together.
Do I have a crowd here with the... Well, look. Okay.
They're opposite. It's like two S's are coming out of the base.
That's correct. Okay, so yeah. maybe mar is a more generic term, which means something undrinkable. It means something which
okay.
is off balance.
Okay, good. Mamtik mar b'mar. Let me give a mashal of it. In a subject that I know about more. Mamtik mar b'mar is mesota. You take the mesota, which is called mayim hamar. It's called the bitter waters. Machlekes in the Gemara was bitter about it, but the simple pshat is you put bitter herbs in it. And this Mayim Hamarim, and it has the Shem Hashem in it. And this Mayim Hamarim, if the woman is guilty, she dies. And if she's innocent, she becomes fruitful and healthy and better than ever. After all, ingested the Shem. So she's in a matzav of Mar. By the way, we're not talking about any tzedekas here. We're talking about a woman who had kinui and stira. So we're not talking about a tzaddikah, you know. And her husband warned her. That means it got pretty bad. So there was kinui and stira with edim and everything. And so she's a mar. She's a mara. And we take the mayim hamarim, and somehow or another, her mriras, being if she's innocent of the incestuous crime, so her marim and the mayim hamarim come together to create fruitfulness. This just explains nothing. I'm just saying that it's the same thing. Similarly, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, I saw the Egel Hazav. So Zohar reports that he took the gold and he was tochen it, he ground the gold and he put it in the water. And those that were involved with the eagle died. It was a test. Same. It was mesota. It was simply a case of mesota.
I'm wondering if this could be the makor of homeopathy. They say you just
what, yeah. Well, let's talk about measles. Let's talk about the measles. You know, like the whole vaccination idea, which is what everybody should be doing. But the whole vaccination idea. It's old-fashioned. As of now, the Gedolim all said everybody should take a vaccination. It's not as old-fashioned to think otherwise. But what's the resistance? The resistance is you're injecting mercury, which is a negative thing. First of all, they haven't injected mercury into people since 1993, so it's a shiyot. But that's the idea, that you're injecting mercury into somebody, which can lead to autism or whatever it can lead to, in order to prevent the measles, which is deadly. So besides for the fact that people shouldn't speak about these things if they don't know what they're talking about, that's including me. That's first of all. But besides for that, it's a haflodika thing. Every vaccination is just somehow, or even like you say, homeopathy is mamish like that. But I mean, that's basically what every vaccination is. You're taking a little bit of mumps and you're putting it into the person, in my lay understanding, and somehow that causes the body to fight the mumps that are there, that might be there, the virus, and so two negatives are creating a positive. No? But here's the best example. The best example is paraduma. So a paraduma is a dover tame, And it's you're taking, right? It's metame satahirim. And this guy's tame. And we're sprinkling paradumo juice on him. And he becomes tahar. So how does something tame make somebody tame tahar? Fantastic. So what you see here is there is such a Torah phenomenon, whether we understand it or not.
Does it have to be a physical analogy? Or is that just
a... Zeres HaKosev. Why, you don't like my physical analogies?
I don't think you need it. It's talking about Ruchnius.
It's like, let's be quiet and read the words here.
It could be very...
I think it has to be.
Yeah?
I think so. I mean, first of all, paradigma is not a physical analogy.
No, I'm not talking about paradigma. I'm saying, but you know, with acid and base and all this.
I think you have to.
Physical analogy.
If that's what, because that's the way the Bria works. That's the way the Bria works. Yeah.
Everything down here is a short shift.
From very fundamental physical, virus and bee take the nucleus, which has protons in it, which is light, and it's supposed to repel, but they don't. And that's because there's a force. So it overrides the pulling apart. You see that they live together. And they create all matter is created this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Molecular coexistence, we learned about it. Listen, maybe your research looks right. I don't think so. But the point is, kachaza, here's such an interesting thing. The Torah says, he sweetened the waters. Mamtik mar b'mar. Sham sam loy, and it was there. Vayimtiku amayim, the water became sweet. Sham sam loy choik umishpat v'sham nisahu. So Chazal Rashi interprets this, ki sam sam loy, that even before Har Sinai, we got a shtickle mitzvahs over here in Mara. Isn't it interesting? Like Dafka b'mara. That's where you get mitzvahs. Wait till we get into a good mood, you know. But Dafka, like we came to, wasn't by the Kriyas Yam Suf, and we're not yet holding at Har Sinai. We're holding now in Mura, and Moshe Rabbeinu sweetened the waters mar b'mar, and Sham Sam Lechayk Umishpat. Mishpat is this. Is, Rashi says three things that we were taught. Chazal say different things. This is Machlaikis. Chazal say in Sanhedrin Nun Vav 10 things. Shiva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. That Sham Samlai, the 10 mitzvahs that we were mechuyavin at that moment. One of them is Shabbos, everybody knows. The other one is dinim, that we have to get along and make bate dinim and have some kind of a social structure. So far so good, because we kept Shabbos even in Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu legislated or advocated for the slaves to not work on Shabbos, Chazal say. So there was such a thing as Shabbos in the Bria, the history of the Jewish people. Dinim, common sense, look, here are people now. Could be they were standing by the bitter waters and they all started to fight, which is common. They're all fighting over the little bit of sweet water, yeah, until they realize it's all sweet for everybody. And then the third one, Rashi says, paraduma. And Chazal, machlokes, whether it's paraduma or kibud av ha'aim. Like, so why kibud av ha'aim? So paraduma, lefi dvarenu, is musbar, because the whole hamtokas hamayim was hamtokas mar b'mar. Moshe Rabbeinu took an eitz, which was mar, and they put it into the water, which was mar, and... What does a paraduma? They're taking something tamei, or which is tamei as hatayrim, and somehow or another you're being matayr as hatameim. By the way, sham loy chok, ela chukim. It's talking about zos chukas hatayra. Talking about it's lovely. Rashi, which is mefarish sepshutei shemikra, goes with the paraduma because that we know is a chok. Chazal come and say keep it of aim. Let's keep it of aim. So in my simple pshat, kibud av ha'aim, what's this on a chok? But I think it's a chok in the sense that you have a kid and you tell your child you can't go. And he says it makes no sense at all. Okay, it makes no sense to you, but you can't go. So that's a chok. That's a chok. It's a par aduma.
I said so.
Yeah.
Kibud Avraham, in a sense, is the hemshech of the second din. If at this point, Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying you need to establish a legal framework for society, the next step, maybe even a pre-step before that, is
Kibud Avraham.
A structure for family hierarchy.
And respect.
Respect for family, parents, respect for the law.
Okay.
Respect for the Zulat.
Good, good. Good. And respect is a chok, meaning that I should respect my parents, even though I don't understand that, is a very big Musar Haskel to Hashem. I think it's a big Musar Haskel to Hashem. Nishtal star from first time. Like you realize as you get older, you know, like 20 years tells the story, and you realize how lucky you were that things didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out, right? I mean, we all have this experience, or at least I do. You know, Baruch Hashem, I Baruch Hashem for all the things that didn't work out in my life. Otherwise, I would have gotten that third grade teaching job in Buffalo, and I would still be there. You know? Possibly, I would have been a fireman. I understand. Let me leave you before we end the lam de shavar. Sham sam lechayka mishpat, Rabbi Yosef Engel, Sefer Tzadik Levracha, who, for those of you who don't know, I wrote a sefer on Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Shav de Nachamasa, which is the sefer where he speaks about the Shav de Nachamasa, the weeks between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. So he says that in the Gemara you find, I'll just leave you with this parperas, that in the Gemara you find that Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra. Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra, that's how we pass on like Hillel. Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra, a person better off not being created. There's too many obligations. It's so he says, people say that, like the Chayotim says actually, that the reason for Kibud Avraham, if you want to give time in the Krah, is have some Akar Satoiv. You know? So the question is, how can you have Akar Satoiv to your parents for birthing you when Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra? What favor did you do me exactly? So there's no Hakar Satoiv warranted for Kibud Avraham. So Tosfos Al HaMakom asked the Kasha that something like that. Tosfos says like what's the everybody's Noyach Leila Adam Shalai Nivra. Tosfos says that that's for a person who's not a tzaddik. For a tzaddik, and you did well with your life, so Noyach Leisha Nivra, Mishalai Nivra. If you're a tzaddik, you're better off. So the average person, or person who fails in their mission, so it's better off you weren't created altogether, and there is no Hakar Zatayv. But for a tzaddik, if you can become a tzaddik, then you have Hakar Zatayv to your parents for birthing you. So he says that Kibud Avraham, for some people it's a chok, and for some people it's a mishpat, right? Chok, like you don't deserve any Hakar Satoiv, but Hashem says, I have to respect you, I respect you. By the way, without all this lumdus, for some people it's a chok, for some people it's a mishpat, that's poshut. But, when you think back on your youth. But so he says that the reason why Chazal picked Sham Sam Lechok Mishpat is because they were looking for the example, which is sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat, and that's Kibud Avraham, depending on who you are, as Rabbi Yosef Engel. But the thing is, just to do the quick summary of everything we said, is that Lahamtik Mar B'Mar, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that what we need to understand is Yisurim are Mar. My situation, or my Averos, let's say, are Mar. The Mar of the Yisurim meets the Mar of my life, and somehow or another comes out from that Mituk. And this is what he calls Hu Tikkun Hamidos B'Shorshem. This is the real Tikkun Hamidos. Real Tikkun Hamidos is not learning how to become more polite or learning some etiquette or learning some Derech Eretz. That's important. But the real Tikkun Hamidos is what's actually going to change me. What's actually going to change me? It's hard to change somebody without Yisurim, unfortunately. That's the way Hashem created the world. So it's hard to, it's hard for somebody, what actually changes a person, you know? So usually it's some type of a difficulty, so the which brings us to a higher level of awareness. So the difficulty is not something any of us want, but the difficulty of Yisurim is memarek, meaning it brings us to a level of growth and maturity. And that's tikkun hamidos b'shorshim. That's called the tikkun hamidos in the real shorish of the thing, and making a real internal change. Okay, thank you very much.
Physics. Did you ever hear of quantum
entanglement? No. No.
Einstein didn't accept it. It's called the spooky action of a distance. What it is that they're twin particles. From one particle, twins are born, like the neshama separates from the delicate common love. That's the analogy. And whatever happens to one, a zillion miles away, instantaneously the other one changes.
Well, that's the Nasi Tamasi, yeah.
That's faster, it happens instantaneously. There's no speed of light propagating it. So it's spooky action.
L'mayla mizman, you mean?
Huh?
L'mayla mizman.
Yeah, and Einstein couldn't be subtle. And there's been big debate on it for the past 50 years.
Well, he didn't agree that there was things that l'mayla mizman.
Scientific American has an article, and it said, you know, because experimentally they were trying to validate what they call Bell's inequality. That fellow named Bell in the 60s.
Well, Einstein didn't agree there's something higher, that there, that doesn't...
That it could happen.
That it could something
happen.
Without Zman.
Huh?
That there's something without Zman.
Right.
Einstein held that no information can ever travel faster than the speed of light.
But it happens, things are separated, and they're instantaneous. They're both the same. So how does that happen? Einstein he never accepted it. And there's a whole debate in physics about it, and they thought they had proved experimentally Bell's theorem, and then they didn't, and now Scientific American Poskim.
Okay, but I mean,
they
proved God is l'mayla mizman. He believed in God.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he believed in God.
I'm saying, but it's an interesting, it's a very problematic idea philosophically. Einstein wouldn't buy it. And it's basically in the realm of Svara. The quantum mechanics per cloud is something that nobody, you know, it's saga, really.
No, sure. I probably, because it involves information traveling faster than the speed of light. Yeah, that's the
can one. Can we give that a push?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That should do it.
Still there.
Oh. Do it again. May I hold it for a few then?
Oh. Well, you were looking for scientific analogies, so I thought that's what you were going to get.
I read once, a long time ago, I read the biology. Yeah, I guess so. It's supposed to turn all blue and everything.